officer. All right. Thanks, guys. That was great. So we have been in kind of a bit of walking through Exodus, kind of just some snippets. So today I want to, in just a few minutes, almost literally, just kind of wrap up what we said about that and then tell you where we're going. So next Sunday, we're going to start a series for June and July in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to go back and just look at the foundations of creation and kind of allow that foundation just to remind us who we are and to give us some real key categories to our identity and our purpose in this world. So what I want to do is encourage you this week to just spend some, like, don't necessarily read it all. If you read it all in one day, great, but go back to it. Like, let it soak in a little bit, and then we'll kind of spend some time in it, and I'm going to challenge you to probably do some other things as well, like do a little bit of memorization and stuff. So just get ready. We're going to be in Genesis 1 through 3 this summer, and I'm looking forward to it. But today, let's just dip our toe one more time into Exodus, being called by God to lead the people out of slavery into freedom. But I think it's really important to remember, as others have pointed out, that the people of God that he called, they were not just, they were also called to God and to relationship and to this covenant community. And that's the same for us, right? We are called from our life of captivity to sin and brokenness and the darkness in this world, but we're also called to something, to relationship. And we heard a little bit of that and got a glimpse of that from some of our young folks. But I really like how it's described in Exodus 19, 4 through 6. And originally I wanted to do a whole kind of full sermon on this, but today you're just going to get a little piece of it. Listen to what it says in Exodus. These are the words of the Lord to Moses. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of... These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. The very next chapter, Exodus 20, we get the Ten Commandments. But before we get those foundational words of instruction, God reminds the people that he first has called them to himself. He has first brought them out of slavery to himself. And when relationship is established, then they can learn how to live in that relationship. And of course, the same is true for us today. Now, chapters are basically about that. Freedom and then relationship with God at the base of Mount Sinai, and then they're sent off to live it. But there are 16 more chapters in Exodus. I want you to hit on these 16 chapters, because if you haven't read them recently, you might be surprised, as I was this week, to realize what those 16 chapters are about. God has called the people to Mount Sinai. They're about to journey through the wilderness, and 13 of those 16 chapters are about building tabernacle. 13 chapters. A third of Exodus is basically the nuts and bolts, if you will, the details of this tent. Just putting this tent together, what it's supposed to involve, people do that are leading in this tent. And so, like, you get all of this, which tells us that even though if I had made Nolan read even like 10 verses that, we start falling asleep, God obviously cares about this specific place. Why? Why does he care so much about what we call the tabernacle? I believe it's summarized in one verse, Exodus 25, verse 8. Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make a place, make this tabernacle, and I will dwell among them. God cares about this physical structure, this tent, because God is going to dwell with them. They are leaving Mount Sinai, and they are going into a consistent presence with God on the way and then in the promised land. Now, if you know, it doesn't go so well, right? That's the plan. It doesn't happen exactly like that, right? They stumble and bumble their way through the wilderness. They get into the promised land, and then they get there, and then Solomon, the king, called the temple, and they have a place there where they can go and meet with God. But of course, it falls apart too, like literally, physically, but more because it spiritually falls apart. The people can never quite seem to get the hang of fully trusting in God. Thank goodness we don't ever have that problem, right? We got that part down. It's a continual reality. That's why this book is our story too, because it's the struggle of learning how to live with God dwelling among us. So about 600 years before Jesus, are exiled to Babylon, and the temple is destroyed. the very center of their relationship with God, literally falls apart. 600 years later, Jesus comes along, and what does he do? He returns to the temple. The prophet Ezekiel makes it really clear that God has left the temple, now Jesus. But what does he do? He doesn't build the temple back up. He doesn't make it great again. He actually goes in, and every one of the gospel writers makes it clear that the temple structure is coming down. Mark and Luke put that temple cleansing, that temple rejection, you might even say, at the end of their gospel. Only John puts it at the beginning. John describes the temple being kind of judged by Jesus at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And here's why I think he does that. It's John 1:14, our other key verse. And the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He cast his tent in our midst, John says. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only of grace and truth. Jesus comes and he becomes the dwelling place. And where the tabernacle had all these divisions, and then the temple too, that you had only certain places that only certain people could go. So of course you had the most holy place for the high priest once a year. You had the court of priests for the priests, not a trick question. Court of Israel was for the men. Okay, here, you're going to get this one. The court of women was for women. Very, very good. Very good. Thank you, Gwen. And the was for the Gentiles, right? So you see the picture here. You go from the center where it's holiest, and you keep rippling out, and the further out you get, the more divisions there are. With all that in the background, Jesus comes, and he subverts the whole temple structure, and 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul writes these words. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? You are the temple of God, he says to a bunch of formerly Gentile pagans. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. You there is plural. He's saying, don't you all know? You all are the temple of God, and the Spirit dwells in all of you. You, we are the temple. How revolutionary is that? We go from a tent to a building to regular old you and me. And this temple, there's no longer a court. There's no longer a court for women or men or kids or priests where professionals get to stand up and do all the work, the holiest work. None of that. That stuff is gone because Jesus has torn. We are the holy place. We are the dwelling of God. So if you're a kid or a student or a college kid, you are not the church of tomorrow. If you're a seasoned folk with silver hair or maybe fading hair or no hair, you're not the church of yesterday. We are all together the church of today because Jesus is among us. We are on this journey together. Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, as Nolan read. We might add to that young and old, married and single, plumber, and PhDs and pre-Ks, and every level of education in between are the temple. Where black and white and every color of the palette are the temple. Where rich and poor and every amount of money in your pocket in between, we are the temple. Because the veil is torn, the divisions are removed, and we are, and we get to live like it, all because of Jesus. Because of that, we get to celebrate communion together this morning. And so as you come to one of the four tables or you take the element, remember, we are doing this as one family, young and old, seasoned and not so seasoned. No matter what your walk is, if you are following Jesus, we get to do it together. We are the temple of God. Let's celebrate communion with that hope and that promise. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Thank you for doing away, had its time and its place, but was always meant to point to something bigger, that a physical building, a structure, always pointed forward to the day when you would become our dwelling place. And you, and as we also look forward to the day, as Revelation promises, that we will one day dwell with you where there will be no need for a temple. There'll be no need for any of those divisions anymore because we will all be perfectly and completely one in Christ. Lord, because of your Spirit, help us to imitate that and live that out. Just a glimpse of that this morning as we continue to be the people, the place of your dwelling. Jesus, we are yours, and we celebrate that this morning in your name. Amen.